is Southside.
A few years ago, we were featuring in full force and full focus the challenges that were put forward by glare and motorists' glare, and when you're travelling on the roads, and I've experienced this myself, where you think, what are those headlights coming out of that range for? Why are they blinding us in all sorts of ways? And we were lucky enough to be speaking to the founder of then the Blinded by Xenon person, of course, Ken Purham. Changes have moved in, lots of other things have been happening, this campaign gathers apace, and we're delighted to say, Ken Purham, are you indeed there?
I am.
Fantastic. Great to hear your dulcet tones once again. So, Ken, share with us what things have been happening. In fact, let's go back. Let's spool back in time for the benefit of people who might say, yeah, well, you know, what's happening? We're still being blinded by the light in motorist terms, etc. Why did you come up with this thing in the first place?
Well, obviously, because I've been driving at night as a taxi driver in London for 38 years. And I noticed the problem with the lights from 14 years ago, but obviously there wasn't, you know, that many around. But slowly but surely, they've got worse and worse. And then I actually realised that I totally believe that government and the manufacturers have got the setting of xenon wrong. And there's nothing wrong with xenon. They just need lowering a little bit to make it, you know, a bit fairer for the rest of us.
Is it as simple as that? Because
it is that simple.
Yeah, I mean, there are times where people will, you know, almost the oncoming traffic, and there's quite a glare that's there. And obviously, you say, well, sort out your own vision, sort out your own windscreens, and so on and so forth. But it can clearly create a kind of road traffic hazard, I would have thought.
Well, it does. I mean, I've since taken in another organisation, and now we've formed as a lightmare.org. And there's plenty written about, I mean, daytime running lights as well came in February on all new cars. And it's actually well written that the daytime running lights are actually brighter than dipped headlights at night. So we're actually getting problems with daytime lights, especially when we often don't get a lot of sun. So it almost looks like dusk, early morning or whatever during the day. And we've got beaming lights during the day and the night. And another big problem is many cars have fitted these daytime running lights, and they're not switching them off at night, and they're leaving them on, and they're actually brighter than dipped headlights. So we're getting a double battle.
It sounds quite amazing, really. Let's bring in our studio guest today. That's Aaron Craig, obviously host of Chef's Choice, etc. Aaron, you were in the army. Did you just have problems with headlights in the army?
No, not really. Yeah, it is a problem. It's a problem I've come across. What's the idea, Karen? How do we go about solving this problem in your eyes?
Well, I think it's pretty simple that the daytime running nights need to be on without a doubt. We don't want to get rid of them. It does especially help motorcyclists and cycles, but we don't want them that bright on the cars that, you know, we then lose the motorcycles and cycles. The xenon headlights are fantastic, but they just need to be a little bit lower. And then we'll have, you know, fairness for all motorists, cyclists, pedestrians, motorcyclists and everybody.
Yeah, and have you got feedback from government agencies and professional driving bodies?
We got fantastic feedback from a motoring correspondent called James Baggett. As far as I know, he's the guy that runs the Car Dealer magazine. He wrote a huge blog on me and asked people to vote. Obviously, because he's well-respected in the motoring trade, he actually asked people on a poll on his blog, you know, do you think HID lights are dangerous? The blog polled over 13,000 votes. 90% disliked HID headlights. Mm. I mean, that's overwhelming.
It is indeed. And what do you think? Do you think the government's listening? And
Oh, they're definitely listening now, without a doubt. I mean, it's taken a long time, but I have been, contacted by Top Gear. I'm not sure that they're going to cover me, but they have read over my website. I've been reblogged by Honest John, another revered motoring correspondent in the Daily Telegraph, and I'm also getting a story written about me by an ex-Top Gear presenter called Sue Baker. Should be coming out soon.
It certainly seems as though the campaign is moving apace. We mentioned, obviously, lightmare.org, and I think his name becomes quite clear in that. I'm looking at the whole thing there. Welcome to lightmare.org. And there is a petition there, obviously, you can sign if you'd like to sort of, you know, stress the importance. I mean, in terms of the solution, do other countries have the same thing? I mean, is this something
peculiar? This is a global problem.
Right. So
it's not just a UK problem. I mean, I'm very, very lucky. Being a London cab driver, I pick up people from all around the world. And I've spoken to people from Australia, America, Canada, you know, Asia, all parts of Europe, literally all around the world. And it doesn't seem to matter where you go. Even, you know, Indian bloggers are writing about how dangerous these lights are in India.
So it's actually something which, you know, clearly is not just unique. I was going to say, you know, was this yet again a classic case of something which was just unique to the UK and we thought, oh well, it's just our own sort of challenges?
No, not at all. I mean, since I last spoke to you as well, I've made friends with Peter Hiley, who is the professor of ophthalmology from the University of Austria, who managed to get a withdrawal of mandatory daytime running lights in Austria because there were a number of accidents that killed children and cyclists.
Mm.
But, I mean, obviously the UK government knows about this, but at the moment he sort of stands alone in, you know, fighting this thing, and obviously I've managed to meet him via the other organisation that I joined with to become lightmare.org.
Yep. I'm just looking at that, the aims of the organisation: to persuade the UK government to limit the eye-damaging intensity of light that a driver encounters, and as you mentioned, the xenon high-intensity discharge headlights cause temporary blindness. They could also refer to misuse of brake and fog lights in contravention of the highway codes. That is something which does irritate me, when you're actually certainly driving on the motorway and you find people just constantly, it's almost as though they think, oh, I'm in a disco now, I'm going to just check my road brake lights, and just on, off, on, off, yeah. On, off. It's not great.
Well, that's another big problem is the brake lights are now, they're using LED. And the LED brake lights are actually, I think, brighter than the old fog lights.
Mm.
And they give a piercing light if they're not, you know, diffused properly, much like xenon.
Mm.
But believe it or not, I know I can't name names as
indeed
regards manufacturers.
Absolutely.
But
yes.
One major manufacturer has decided, and I'm talking about one of the biggest major manufacturers, to sort of diffuse their daytime running lights so that you don't get that LED burn like from the brake lights.
Mm.
You know, that in itself, you know, I think it probably was through Honest John in the Telegraph rather than myself, because he's obviously a lot more respected than I am, and I'm sort of still new on the scene.
Ken, please, you know, who's being interviewed by a Southside and Siren today? You know, it's not as nice as you
well,
yourself.
I'm doing my bit, but, you know, I'm not out there as loud as some of those that have been in the you know, in the public for a long time. Mm.
In terms of cost, I mean, as far as manufacturers are concerned, that's probably going to be their bottom line. Is this something which they can apply relatively cheaply?
I think they definitely can. I mean, it's not as if it's, you know, rocket science. It's literally a slight lowering of the settings so that the xenons are not in everyone's face, and those that have got them don't, you know, lose the goodness that they give, and just diffusion of the LEDs so that they're not absolutely, you know, because the ultraviolets from the LEDs are the things that upset many people's eyes. And when I speak to people, particularly that drive at night, although I'm covering the day as well, and you get that, you know, that dusky thing, you know, 7 out of 10 drivers I regularly find dislike the pain from the ultraviolets, from the LEDs and the HIDs.
Hmm. You raised, as always, a number of very key points there. Just thinking, a few years ago there was a suggestion that we should follow the rules of certain European countries and ensure that lights were on all the time, not just the day, which I thought initially, well, that's going to run down your batteries, but never mind. In terms of that, presumably you would not necessarily be in favour of ensuring that lights are on, because I think the official highway code now, the law, is it correct, is obviously when, you know, the light should be on in conditions where clearly you need to have your lights on, whether it's rain or climatic conditions, or indeed obviously dusk, twilight, or indeed night.
Oh, so you're bringing up something else. I mean, a lot of people just assume that the moment it rains they should put their fog lights on. That fog lights give a, you know, they're supposed to be on in fog, not rain. And they give awful reflections. So this is why I've had to take in, you know, the DADRL, and we become lightmare.org, because there is so many light problems that are not being dealt with properly. But luckily, because of the support from the Driving Instructors Association, you know, they will deal with that with the DSA and try and make sure that, you know, drivers are more educated on knowing, you know, how to use their lights and when they're on properly.
Yeah. And just again, for those people who think, not another acronym, DRDRL stands for?
DADRL was Drivers Against Daytime Running Lights. And the sad part about it was like Blinded by Xenon. It was very difficult to find because of the spelling. They wasn't actually against daytime running lights. They was against the brightness of daytime running lights. But like me, they just opened a, you know, a website originally to try and, you know, do something about this. And so then when we joined together, we realised that lightmed.org would give people much more of an idea, be easier to find. And obviously we've much improved the site. We put it in colour, and we've really gone to town in trying to explain to people what we're trying to do.
I was going to say, Ken, it stands out very brightly, but I best not say that in the context of the whole
thing. Sorry, I'm laughing loudly. That was brilliant.
It was great stuff. Fascinating stuff. We're certainly supportive from that point of view. It'd be interesting to see any research that's been done into accidents that have been caused, because there were a couple of times where, I don't know about yourself, Aaron, I mean, we do a fair amount of driving in various ways. You just think, ooh, that's a bit dangerous, that, really.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Can I say something on that as well?
Of course you can, Ken. Yes.
Right. Well, this comes up regularly. A lot of the safety organisation wants statistics on accidents. Well, what all the bodies haven't taken into consideration, everyone assumed because we got brighter lights, it would be safer. It's only safer for the driver. It's not safer for those driving against. So a lot of the statisticians, the police and everyone else, I mean, this is where we're slightly pioneering, have not taken into account, they haven't questioned drivers whether they were dazzled. Some drivers are dead because you get a lot of single occupancy deaths. And quite often, you know, if you was unfortunate enough to be dazzled by a set of these lights, which you obviously have been, and you hit a curb or a tree, or you stop stationary because you think the driver's coming at you on full beam, by the time he's passed you and you've gone, you curse him and you just get on with doing what you're doing, and you think, you're thankful that you haven't been involved in an accident.
You might say merchant banker or equivalent, but there we are.
You know what I'm saying?
Indeed, yes.
And you forget all about it because it only happened for a moment.
And that is part of the whole routine. Other sort of highlights of the site, certainly pedestrians at risk, cyclists at risk, obviously motorcyclists, drivers as well. Fascinating scenario. Lightmare.org, that's the site to actually go to. We'll put a hyperlink on from southsidebroadcasting.com, obviously. Ken, it's been wonderful just sharing some thoughts with you, good self. Have you had a reasonably interesting return chat with us here at Southside Broadcasting, and indeed Siren 107.3 FM?
Absolutely beautiful. I mean, it was very good last time. And it's very good again.
Well, we like to maintain the standards, Ken, as you're well aware. That's the important thing. So I take it then we can perhaps look forward to featuring you again in the not-too-distant future.
I really look forward to it.
Ken Parham, we salute you.
Thank you very much.